Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're continuing today to read from the Acts of the Apostles, the stunning drama of the unfolding of the Christian community and God's plan, the plan of the Father, the plan of our Lord Jesus Christ to really be faithful to his promises, faithful in particular here in these early chapters of Acts we see to the Jewish people. Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times, is back at the very center of where all the drama took place with Jesus, his passion, his death and resurrection, and Jesus' arrest and being brought before the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders. As I've been repeating kind of over and over again this week, just the idea that the first preaching took place not only in the city, in the most important city to the Jewish people ever, which is Jerusalem, in the country of Israel, which is means everything to them, but above all that, the temple itself, which for the Jews is the holiest place on the earth and in the whole cosmos. It's the most important place. And while they're there praying, being faithful Jews, going to temple, God's plan, Jesus' plan, is to make sure that those people in that place, including the highest spiritual leaders in Israel, among the whole Jewish people, hear and understand, they're able to see and understand, if their hearts are open, to the truth of everything Jesus spoke, a revelation about his lordship, and the truth that he is the Messiah of Israel. And so where we left off yesterday, in chapter 4, Peter preached the gospel to a big crowd of Jewish people who were praying in the temple, explaining how the man was healed, the crippled man, by the name of Jesus only. And then he calls them to repent and convert, and 5,000 men, just mentioning the men, there's reasons for that, but I'm sure women converted and all kinds of people. So huge response, not just like people saying, hey, that was pretty good. They're talking about real conversion, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, accepting Jesus as the Savior, Messiah of the Jews. Astounding reality, which is why it shook up the religious leaders. The top leaders came out. They got Peter and John arrested, thrown in jail. And the next day they come before the council, which is where we left off yesterday. And they want to know, how is it that this man was healed? Everybody knew the crippled man because he's been at the Gate Beautiful, at the temple gate, year after year after year. And they want to know what happened. And Peter said, okay. And this is important, verse 8, chapter 4. They said, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus is not only leading, he's fulfilling everything he told the apostles he would do. You will be dragged before leaders, religious leaders, political leaders, people hostile. Don't worry about what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit, who I will send, will give you the words to speak. He will inspire you. And so here's Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, the man who was filled with fleshly fear just months earlier, is now fully alive with Pentecostal power, with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in him, the first pope. He said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Peter could have said many things. It's by Jesus Christ who loves you, and he has a perfect plan for your life. He didn't say that. I mean, that's true too, but he didn't say it. Or he didn't try to come with a kind of modus vivendi, like, let's come together on this. He went right to the heart of the matter that Jesus said, you will proclaim these things. You will proclaim that I rose from the dead and that I'm alive and that I'm the Lord and that I'm offering now the new life that is mine, eternal life forever for those who repent. He's the stone rejected by the builders, he said yesterday, and then the great line, verse 12, repeating again from yesterday, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Memorize verse 12. There's just a lot of confusion in the church and in the world today. This kind of the self-focused reality that's in the culture is very much also present in among many baptized people. The idea that I'm my own master, I'm my own person, I'm the one who has my own truth and lives by my truth, and I'm being faithful to myself, and I'm all these kinds of things, and my Jesus is the one who salutes my decisions, and he's the one who's affirming me around every corner, all the decisions that I'm making, that kind of stuff. It's maybe stated slightly extremely, but that's really present. And say, with everybody who's authentically themselves, everybody who's choosing their path freely and following their own bliss, they're on their way to salvation. That's not true. It's not true. Everybody needs the salvation that comes from repentance and faith and baptism into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and entering his church. Now, we know the church says it's possible for someone who's never heard the gospel through no fault of their own, responding fully to the light that God has given them, it's possible for them to be saved, but it's not easy. It's not a given. So there's something really there that there's a presumption, kind of presumptive posture that's present even among very high-level bishops, cardinals, theologians, and other people that take that position. And so then they say, well, you don't have to worry so much about the salvation thing. What we need to worry about is just being caring for people, helping people in need, loving people, remembering the Good Samaritan, things like that, as if it's an either or. You know, it's not an either or, it's a both and. And the reason people, the early Christians, were able to give away everything that they had and to love and serve the poor and those who were oppressed is because they had their treasure, because they were fully alive in Christ, because they were a new creation. They understood. They didn't hoard their possessions because they knew they were living in the hands of God. And the idea of security in our possessions is they knew it was an illusion. And everything belongs to God. And anyway, they're totally cared for and they know their destiny. So loving my neighbor and giving what I can give, it becomes an expression of love, of walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And they're filled with a loving heart now because their lives have changed. Verse 13, chapter 4. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that is the major rulers there in Israel, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they wondered. I love this. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. See the transformation in those brothers? Where does that boldness come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. A new power. A person sent by Christ, the third person of the Trinity, who comes to dwell in us. Person, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, present. The promise of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that he spoke to the woman at the well about. It's in the apostles, and they literally are new men. They've been made alive in an entirely new way. And they're not afraid of men anymore. Isn't that interesting? They have a holy fear of God, which is a beautiful thing, not a slavish fear, but a holy fear, a filial fear. I love this. The leaders were scratching their heads. How did these dudes get this boldness? They're not only talking to the big crowds about this, but they're talking to us. And they look completely fearless to us. And they began to wonder. They said, these guys are uneducated, common men. They're not one of us. They're not one of the, high priest family or anything like that. You guys are fishermen. And then it says, and they, that is the religious leaders, recognized that they had been with Jesus. Been with Jesus. Here's a place where we're, I think, being challenged. Those who have been with Jesus are different. Different people. Transformed people. They look at everything differently. They look at time, possessions, people, places, things. They look at it all differently. And they have a different foundation of security and identity. It comes from the indwelling presence of the Spirit conforming us to the person of Jesus. Verse 14, but seeing the man that had been healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is manifest to all the inhabitants in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. Thank God for signs and wonders. Verse 17, but in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So don't say his name. Don't preach in his name. Verse 18, so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. You know, so these guys are flexing their muscles. Peter and John know that this same group of people had the power to crucify Jesus. They could do the same to Peter and John. So did Peter and John cower? Did they say, we need a different strategy? We got to find somebody in the Senate, somebody here who's, you know, a high person to kind of get these guys to leave us alone. Let us just say this and they can protect us. No, their security was in Christ. They were already dead. The old man died and they were alive now to the person of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard. Oh my goodness. You know, we can say the same thing because we've heard the gospel and some of us have seen signs and wonders confirming the preaching of the gospel as well. But the bottom line is we know we've heard the gospel. Verse 21, and when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all men praised God for what had happened. Isn't it interesting? All these men were praising God for what had happened. They were rejoicing and the religious leaders couldn't swallow it. They were so, their whole world was being turned upside down. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. And then it goes on here. I just will begin. Actually, I'll wait till tomorrow because we just have a few seconds left to end this chapter. And it's so powerful and so beautiful. Friends, I encourage you to go to these passages and place yourself right in the middle of the story. You're standing there as a disciple with Peter and John. Let the Holy Spirit bring clarity to you, to your mind, to your heart, to your will, of what's at stake and what's the central message of the Christian people. God bless you. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.